Welcome everybody tonight to the meeting, since it's probably the last 80 degree day for a while, it looks like. So, it was a great way to have a fall, wasn't it, this year? It was really, really nice. Everybody please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call tonight. Charles called in and said he would not be able to make it, so do I hear a motion to approve Charles's absence? Gina first, and I didn't catch the second.
Who?
Eugene, okay. Any discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same. Okay, then we accept his being gone tonight. Current business 2.0, Beautification Committee update, Lynette Crothers. Thank you for coming.
Good evening. Do I need to state my name, address for the record, or anything?
Yeah, just put it in, that's fine.
Lynette Crothers. Address?
Yes, please.
830 South Skylark Way, Othello.
Go ahead, yeah.
All right. Beautification and the city have had some wonderful news the past couple weeks, and all of you are possibly on board with that, but for those of you that aren't, just wanted to take a minute and share with you that the Quadco grant that was applied for summer before last has come through, guys. Yay. What that means is the city gets to be reimbursed for the $10,000 that they put toward the hiring of Mark Preston, the Main Street architect. So that was really good news. I got that last week from Eamon. The other piece of good news is the grant from the Community Economic Revitalization Board that came through for $19,500. This grant will be applied toward lighting only. It was a very specific grant, and this is totally an aside, guys, but these two grants would not have been possible were it not for the man sitting over here. Eamon was instrumental in writing both of these grants. We had help from our committee and help from ACDC, but this man is amazing when it comes to grant writing. Where are we with our project? That's why I'm here tonight, to give you an update on the progress of where we are toward coming forth with our concept design for the Main Street project. Within the past couple weeks, Mark has submitted his final draft to the city. Eamon has gone through it, I've gone through it, Public Works have gone through it, and so we're reviewing that final draft and looking at it. Something I want council to be aware of as I'm speaking tonight, Mark is going to present his view of what Main Street, his vision of Main Street will be or could be. And we have come in as the Beautification Committee with a modified version of that plan. And as I move forward tonight, I'm going to be talking about our modified plans. So when we're hearing descriptions of the numbers of things and the cost breakdown down for things, that keep in mind, that's the beautification's modification of Mark's large scape plan. When Mark had the scope of work given to him, that included the first two blocks coming in from 14th Street and 14th through 12th Street. And those are the two blocks that his project is primarily focused on. He will give us the breakdown for the entire 15 blocks of Main Street, but what I'm going to speak to tonight will be specifically for the first phase of our project, which will be the first two blocks coming in from 14th. As we move down Main Street, we're basically going to be looking at three new alternating elements. We're going to be looking at lights, we're going to be looking at trees, and we're going to be looking at new pots. Lights, this has been up in front of you here for a couple of minutes. You'll notice that this is a departure from the CBHA lighting, the historical lighting that we're used to seeing. After a lot of discussion on the part of the beautification committee, we determined that we wanted a light that would visually fill more of our immense space along Main Street. And we determined that this pole with the pendant drop lights would be just take up visually, be more visually impacting than the upright luminaires that we see at CBHA. Also, we're looking at very good lighting for the sidewalk as well as the street with the pendant lights. This pole, light pole, will be stresscrete, which is spun concrete. These are some of the sturdiest poles and long-lived poles out there. This pole will be standing in Othello 50 years from now, looking exactly like it looks right here. Ritzville is proof positive that this pole selection will speak to something we're very concerned with this project, and that's sustainability. We don't want to go in away in 10 years, and the paint flaking off and having to redo. This pole is going to be here. And this pole will have double banner holders, and it will have an outlet at the top that down the road we can have Christmas, large Christmas ornaments extending out from the pole and plug in at the top of the light. And very much graffiti free. We can swab it off if somebody sprays paint on it. This is an amazing pole. More expensive, but when you look at the longevity of the pole, I think we've made a good call here. This pole, as you see it, is in the neighborhood of $7,500 per pole. Along with the light pole, we're going to have six arterials per block, and those arterials are the 35-foot lights that will replace the street lights. And they will look very similar to this. There will be 14 of these in the first two blocks. There will be six arterials. The arterials will be in the neighborhood of $8,000 per light. So you can begin to put figures to this, and I'll have a breakdown of figures for you here in a minute. The next thing we want to talk about are the choice of trees. First of all, just making the tree choice, we had great deliberation over this because trees are controversial in this city, and there's no question about that. And basically, we know that this revitalization project of our Main Street moving forward, that how can you have a beautification project without the green factor? So we have opted to include trees in the project. And the tree that's been selected here is the European hornbeam. It's one of the most well-behaved trees out there. This tree is pyramidal in shape. It is basically carefree, no pruning required. The leaves are small. The tree has no fruit to be that will be dropping. And as the tree gets higher, it can be cut up from the bottom, as this one, as you can see, so that visibility to the sidewalk and car door openings and so forth won't be affected. This obviously is a much more mature tree. They'll be much smaller to start with, but this is the tree selection. The planters we have chosen are commercial grade fiberglass. The bio on this product is amazing as far as the durability of the product, the choice of colors for the product. These don't fade, they don't crack or break. This is not Home Depot quality fiberglass, folks. These are substantial, and the color, we've chosen a slightly lighter brown color, but this is basically the planter, and they will be 5 feet in length, 18 in width, and 24 inches high, and the splash of color that you'll see as you move down the street, seeing these pots, will be dramatic. There will be two per side, four per block, so eight total in that two blocks. The total above ground cost, trees, lights, and planters, we're talking $175,000 thereabouts for the two blocks. For everything installed, all infrastructure, electrical, mechanical, concrete, on-site work, we're talking $352,000, upwards of $352,000. The total amount for our 15 blocks, $2,256,000 approximately. A word about our entryway sign. This was the concept design proposed by Mark that would be emerging mid-street between 14th and 13th Avenue. And this, as I said, was concept only. To move this to the next phase, which means the structural drawings that would be rendered by an architect, will require additional fees. What is in front of you here, Mark has priced out at approximately $110,000. That's the above ground costs. What could happen with this, once this is fabricated and once this is in place and we have the prototype, this exact sign could be moved down on First Street as you come in from 26. So that is a real possibility there. Just a word about funding for this project. We're looking at doing this project in phases. We're also looking at the potential of funding the project in phases. We're looking at the city writing grants, beautification writing grants. We're looking at public donations, possibly for trees, pots, lights, putting someone's name on it. And those are some of the possibilities for funding. As you just heard, this is an enormous project. And if I didn't believe this was doable, folks, I wouldn't be here today. I so believe in this, and I so believe the timing is perfect. Look what's happening in this community. Look at our brand new beautiful schools. Look at how we're moving out toward Highway 26. Look at our wonderful parks and how they're being used. The time is right. And just the curb appeal this will create, for visitors coming into Othello, welcoming and inviting as they move down the main street. And guys, just something for us to be so proud of. This is my hometown. I'm so proud of it. Questions, comments?
Sold me, that was great.
We can do this.
Any questions from council? Anybody in the audience have questions on this? Great concept, looks beautiful.
Thank you.
I think it's doable. So, I take it you're going to be coming to the council, because budget time, I assume? Is that what you're thinking?
The next go around, Mark will be making comments, and then I'm not sure if council approves of the, what's the chronology?
There'll be a request, but.
Yeah. Okay, so I was wondering. This is the time of the year, so, okay. Well, good. Thank you, Lynette, that was excellent. Okay, 2.02 public hearing on the 2013 revenue sources. Mike, please bear with us as we progress through the legal and technical aspects of the public hearing. This public hearing is now open at 7:17 p.m. and is being held to receive a staff report and receive public comments on the revenue sources for the 2013 budget. This public hearing is required by state law. I will now ask staff to report. Okay, Mike Bailey.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Council. This is our preliminary revenue estimates for the 2013 budget. See if my thing is working. Yeah, I think I'm ready. I'm just going to start with the general fund. We expect to start with a beginning fund balance of about $1.1 million. This is kind of our comfort zone in the general fund, is to be right around $1 million. Taxes at $2.2 million, licenses and permits at $58,000, intergovernmental at $261,000, charges for services at around $238,000, miscellaneous $54,000, and then transfers of almost $1.4 million. So our new revenue is about $4.2 million. And then the total resources, if you add in the beginning fund balances, just a little over $5.3 million. Now, then I'll move over to the street fund. We expect to start with a beginning fund balance of $600,000. That's actually quite high in the street fund. But there were some projects that didn't get finished that were our capital projects for this year that are actually added to our fund balance. So that'll be carried over into next year. And then I just want to point out this one right here, taxes. This is the sales tax that I have been budgeting for about the last 7 years at $460,000. The increase to $635,000 is the 0.5% sales tax. The council agreed on, I think at our last meeting, to leave as it had been originally intended. So in 2013, and you know, I just realized that I have the label on here as 2012 revenue. This is actually 2013 revenue, I apologize. So the sales tax, the going into the street fund starting in 2013 will be, we're guessing it to be about $635,000. And I'll tell you how this works. The State Department of Revenue on their website, I can go and actually, find out what they actually passed on to us for each tab. So we will be adjusting this. This will be adjusted all through the year so that the actual amount that was sent from the state of Washington will be in that number. So it could be more, could be a little less. But this is our estimate for the year. So that's kind of new. There's nothing real new in the water fund, sewer fund, solid waste funds. We anticipate a 4% increase in rates in the water fund. and as you know, we're carrying a huge fund balance over in the water fund, but that's the $1 million we have in there this year for the new well. And we don't expect to start on that until first of the year, after the first of the year, to drill the pilot hole, et cetera. So that we show that as a carryover. That's why that is so high. And then in the water fund, there'll also be a water line that we'll have to put in, a water line, which will be, we expect to have about $1.7 million in reserves in the water fund, in the reserve fund, not inside this fund, but in the reserve fund itself, to pay for that water line. The rates currently in the water fund are building reserves. We're looking down the road someday at well number 10. And once again, also a line to transmit that to the city, which is a considerable amount of money. It could be close to $3 million. So we'll be building reserves for that in the future, as well as other infrastructure projects. The sewer fund, not too much to say in the sewer fund. Once again, our rates are established to build reserves for a mechanical plant. And they will continue to go up. One of the issues in the mechanical plant is the annual ongoing maintenance of the plant. So our rates have to be at a level to sustain that. And that isn't something you want to do at the last minute and do an 80% or 100% increase. So by ramping up like we're doing, we hope we won't surprise anybody when the future gets here. Solid waste fund just keeps trucking along. I don't know what to say about the solid waste fund. It just keeps doing it. Real estate excise tax fund. We don't have any plans for that in the near future. I think we've looked at that as part of the possibility of getting a new park and paying for a park. And then the utility tax fund. The utility tax fund, natural gas, we budgeted, I think, about $650,000 this year for natural gas. And it looks like we're going to be $175,000 under that number for the year, or right around in there. 50% of that goes to the general fund, so that is affecting the general fund revenue picture. But other than that, everything is kind of status quo in the utility tax fund. So that's my report on revenue.
Questions? Any questions for the audience? I'm always surprised for a community of 7,500 plus that more outside the community what we can do. Yeah. Isn't that amazing? You know, you look around our community, how clean it is, and all the schools and the hospitals, and it just goes on and on and on. You know, Main Street. How do we do that? You know, it is. It's pretty exciting to see it come forth like it has over the years. So we've been well ran. You know, the council members in the past were conservative and tried to pay cash as much as they can. And it's paid off for us. You know, we're a city that's doing very, very well. So thank you, Mike. That was a great presentation. Okay. So no public comment? Okay. There wasn't any public comment. Any of the council members have a comment or questions? Nope. Okay. And I will now close the public hearing at 7:24 p.m. Thank you again, Mike. That was great. Now we get to the next one here. Okay, SWAC update, Ken Kaler.
Well, Lauren and I have been working on a little project here. I know a few months ago we talked about what we can do with our yard waste, and maybe it would help the city of Othello as well as our site out here as far as some of the problems they've been having. And basically it's the yard waste, which is mainly grass clippings. We've discussed this and we're still working on some ideas here, but we'll just give you some kind of updates and thoughts on what we're doing here. There's some grants available that we could actually purchase our own containers. And then what we would do is have our garbage contractor pick those up at a specific time, And then that way it would get a lot of this out of our totes, our garbage totes and whatnot. It would be separated from it. And I think in the long run it would help the whole process. What we think is the tonnage that we would save from the grass clippings not being in your general garbage would make up the difference of what it would cost as far as our contractor to pick up that Pacific garbage. What we would do is probably buy these from this grant, these containers, and then we would set them out in specific areas around Othello and then have a specific date for our contractor to pick those up. And that's all it would be in them, is just specifically grass. It would be up to the individual to fill those up with their own grass and whatnot. If they didn't want them in the garbage, all they got to do is go down and dump them, take care of that. We also looked at the idea of maybe using individual totes, but then you go through a completely different process with our contractor because you're picking up the second garbage can, which is basically just for grass clippings. So I'm sure we're going to end up with quite a cost and a lot more time consuming. But anyway, that's kind of our idea, and I don't think something like that would work until we actually get into a recycling program where we had individual bins, and then something like that might work. But I would like to have Lauren come up to the speaker there. He's got a few ideas and kind of a little more specifics of what we talked about. And Council, this is Lauren. We'll see.
Lauren, introduce to us who you are.
Lauren Wiltsey, Adams County, Planning, Building, and Solid Waste Department. So the thing that we see going on, like at the transfer station, we have a few incidents that occurred out there last year and about four or five incidences out there this year that when the weather gets really hot, it appears that the grass in the plastic bags is causing us some issues out there when the material is compacted into the transfer trailers. So it's nice for us if we can help you do something so we can avoid a lot of the customers putting grass in bags. That tends to heat up and get hot, especially when we compact it and then it gets exposed to the air and the wind and whatnot. So the got looking into what we could do with it. Of course, Ritzville has some containers around town where we take and dump our grass in these drop boxes. They're dumped into a dumpster and they're used for some soil amendment purposes on some city property. But when I got looking into it to see what the other communities are doing around the area, I found like Odessa has a similar program that they've set up. So then I started talking with Ken at SWAC to, you know, see if the city would possibly be interested in trying to do something like that. Issue is, it does take time for the citizens to learn how to use it. At first, that type of system, you know, you're going to get bags or you're going to get some other things that are just training and education, you know, over time, you know, they get the public to use them appropriately. If you can keep them in doing that sort of system, you're going to want it in kind of an area where it can be monitored a little bit at first. Maybe even some, you know, places with a little bit of surveillance or something. But the eventually, like Ritzville, I was there for 10 years. It took about 6 years before I started seeing the citizens using it more appropriately. And then as it picked up, you know, the demand for more containers has increased. So we see it as a possibility where you can reduce some of the weight going through the transfer station system, and perhaps we can figure out a way to move it and deal with it. If we can keep it to grass clippings and real small twigs and stuff, I think we can get a real favorable rate on manhandling it and disposing of it, so we can keep that cost at our end hopefully down to nothing, hopefully. Depends on how it comes in, of course, as to what it will. The more we have to deal with at the transfer station, of course, there's some added costs there, but if it's not much and it's minimal, we have CPG grant money that, you know, can cover some of that. same type of grant money that I would use to try and work with Ken to purchase some of these totes. Unfortunately, your hauler doesn't have a rear dump loader, so it'd have to be, you know, front box, dump boxes, 3 yards, 4 yard containers, but I think we can find those either used or reasonably priced new ones even that we could possibly utilize in that type of program. Right now, we're starting to take that yard waste and the larger debris that we clean up during our spring cleanup for free. Any customer can take it out there. The first 250 pounds that they bring us, it's no charge. After that, you know, it'll start accumulating a cost. But problem here is, how do the people get it out there all the time? So then we got thinking, if there were some key places for certain items that we could do in town, perhaps we can make it more affordable for them and usable for them, and maybe they'll use it. Unfortunately, it does come with an added cost to the, you know, for the city side of it. If you can figure out, like I've been encouraging Ken, if the city can figure out how it can manage that type system, I think we can take care of it on our end. If, as long as we don't have to manhandle it and sort through it and dig through it. The trouble is that the sources that will take it, it has to go to recycling of some sort in order to cover it under grant. It's not something that, you know, we can take and dispose of later. Once you take anything in as a recyclable, it actually has to be used as in recycling. Otherwise, it's illegal to divert it. So the key is getting a program set up that is easy for the city and the county to maintain. Anything beyond that is probably something we're not interested in getting involved in. We don't want to do something that once funding or support goes away that we can't maintain it. So the idea is keep something simple that can, you know, eventually become its own program. That's what we're thinking. So the key would be how many spots in town we would have to locate these at, and, you know, where could we do it. So some of the communities I looked at utilized some school sites and some other things, but we found that in Ritzville, key locations are where people aren't, you know, near anybody's backyard, so to speak. So, you know, because occasionally they can become smelly in the early spring, depending on how often you dump them and how clean they dump out. So, you know, that'd be one of the harder components, is figuring out where these key locations could be. But as long as the cost wasn't too high, I think we can purchase some bins under our grant. So I looked at totes, like Ken said, it gets a little costly to do totes. And you end up with the same problem you have now, not dumping out, not cleaning. So I think the metal containers, you know, that they can metal and they can shake them a little bit, probably the way to go, if, you know, if it works for the community. So.
Yeah, that's kind of what we're looking at. If what I look at from the city side of it, if this grant would take care of the purchase of those, then I think we could deal with the contractor to kind of equalize that cost. And with saving on the tonnage, I think would probably make up the difference in that. And it, like you say, you're going to have to educate the people. That's the whole issue of it. That,
which the grant pays for, too, flyers, articles, we have to cover all that under your grant. Cool.
Interesting thought. Something to look at, that's for sure.
Yep. Our next SWAC meeting will be October 17th, which will be in a couple of weeks here, so maybe we can discuss it a little bit here, think about it. I know we're in our budget process, maybe we can tie that in with the grant portion of that, because I don't know, does that grant run out this year, or is that?
It does. It would be nice to know kind of what the city thinks of that program, so I can make sure I work it into the next one.
Okay.
We have to apply every 2 years, and switching to the state biennium time frame, so I'll have to start working on the next grant, have it ready by June 30.
Okay.
And there's money left over right now in the current one, but it all depends on what you want to do.
Kenna or Lauren, did anybody talk about our fall cleanup at all? The way of not using Broadway and...
No, we didn't really talk about that too much. I don't know, Lorna, do you have anything on that?
About
our fall cleanup, you know?
That hasn't gone over a SWAT yet too favorably, like the whole SWAT as far as that goes.
Yeah.
The county does the spring cleanup, of course, that, yeah, realize that the only thing that's ever donated on the spring cleanup is the disposal. Of course, now we're taking it somewhere where it's free disposal anyway, but the cost of running that event at the transfer stations in different areas has always been borne by the county. Transport, that's not free, you know, type of thing. The county just takes that cost. I don't think they're too interested in expanding that into another event, but we did, with moving to free year-round disposal of yard waste, you know, for every customer that comes out there. I think that's kind of where they're going to fall. They bring it to us all year. They don't have to wait for that one event. So with that, I just don't see them kind of, not that they wouldn't, you know, but, you know, can be presented at SWAT. right now, no.
So what is the rate now if you go over the $250?
I think we got it set at $5.
Per?
Well, first 250 pounds was free. Mm-hmm. After that, I think we got it at $5.
Oh, well, that's very reasonable.
It's not very.
That's good to know. Okay. Anything else from the council? Thanks, Ken, for being on that committee all these years. Mm-hmm. And thanks, Laura, for coming all the way down here. I assume you live up in Ritzville?
No, just came over from the office. I'm heading back up.
Oh, okay. Well, thanks for dropping in and let us know about this. We appreciate you stopping.
Thanks, Lauren.
Yep.
Okay, report on liquor sales profits, effects on city budget. That is going to be Spencer.
Thank you very much for your time, Mayor and Council. There are a couple things that I wanted to mention relating to the liquor sales tax and the profits that the city gets from the source of revenue. As we all know, the liquor sales has been privatized just recently, and there's been a lot of worry about are we as a city going to lose that source of funding. And really the main thing to remember is no, we're not going to lose that source of funding. You can see my little chart here. Over the last couple of years, we've received about $85,000 a year. Moving into the future, it doesn't look like we're going to be losing it. It does look like it's going to be decreasing a bit. So if you look at the very last column there, 2013 budget for next year, we're estimating that we'll get around $72,000, $73,000 from this funding source. And so that's good news. There are a couple things in here that are interesting. If you notice the liquor excise tax line there for 2012, that for the current year, our revenue that we're expecting isn't going to be what it has been in years past. We're not getting the fourth quarter allotment. This money comes in four pieces, and we're not going to get the fourth quarter piece. In 2013, we're only going to get the fourth quarter piece. And so that's why that goes, we drop off into the second to the last column there, down to $27,000. And then in 2013, we're guessing there will only be about $6,000 for net revenue source. The offset to that are the liquor board profits. And there's, you can see we've had $50,000 to $60,000 in revenue from that source. For the current year, there's a one-time jump in that source. It's going up to $74,000 for this current year. Then in the future, it's gonna go back down a little ways. The one-time jump that we're experiencing is the liquor. The state is auctioning off their stores. They're saying that they they're selling the right to a private party they have to sell it. Then in the future, that revenue is going to be is going to come from the license fees from these retailers. And so really going into the future, it looks like the liquor excise tax is going to be down a bit, but the liquor board profits are going to be up a bit. And so when we put everything together on our bottom line there, we're not losing as much as originally feared. So really that's the crux of the matter. In your board packets, I also included some other information. The MRSC, Municipal Research Service Center, provides a bunch of great information for cities and towns and counties within the state of Washington. And the numbers that we have are based on that information that they provided. And so that is my report. Thank you very much.
Any questions?
I don't really have a question. I got a comment here. You know, it's kind of interesting how this worked, because legislature, I think, had enough foresight to be able to see what possibly might happen. So they increased part of this to make it happen the way it did. And the people that voted for this didn't realize what was going to happen when the total end of this thing, when they thought, boy, the price of liquor is going to drop. Instead of that, it went the other way. And it created quite a difference, because I've talked to a lot of people that said, well, I wouldn't have voted for that if it had been this way, if I'd have known what was happening to this. And the big problem is a lot of those sales are going out of state, and we're not getting the total amount of that. I think in time it'll probably all drift out and you won't have that problem. But it was kind of interesting, a lot of people that said, oh, we need to do that. And then they found out they got a bit worse than we did on this portion of it. So
I've got a question. You got up to 2013 in that first one, liquor excise tax, that $6,000, that's basically the fourth quarter from 2012. So what you're saying, in 2014 we could be losing that line item completely then?
No.
Possibly?
That line item will continue. That's the fourth quarter of 2013 only. I represented that $6,000. But starting with that quarter, moving forward into 2014, we'll be receiving that amount for each of the four quarters.
So that'll be that amount. Okay.
Yeah.
So. Any other questions? Okay. Thank you, Spencer. Hey, monthly investment report. Spencer again.
Here. I was wondering if I should go sit down or not. So here's a report on the city's investments and cash positions for the year ending at the end of August. This is where our cash investments are at. The city has two investments. One is with the LGIP, the local government investment pool, and the other is with the Bank of America. And the third item is just what we have locally here in our U.S. bank account. And so you can see those, all three of them have increased slightly from last month. I included a couple other attachments that show the interest rates associated with the different investments and what the cash has been doing for the last year. I wasn't really planning on going over that. I don't know if that would necessarily add a whole bunch of value to this conversation, other than just extra validation that we didn't just make up these numbers. They're real numbers. And I suppose going into the future, if you wanted, the attachments that we have that correspond to these cash numbers are Excel spreadsheets and those kinds of things. In the future, if you want, we can make screen prints of the actual invoice or those kind of things. Really, just whatever you would like to see. But those are the cash positions of the city as of the end of August. So, thank you very much.
Yeah, for the public, you know, we see $9,560,000. a lot of that money is spoken for. It's earmarked for projects, so we wish we had that kind of money sitting there we could use, but it is earmarked, so you know that sewer plants, things like that, wells, whatever it might be, but you know, it all adds up. But, yeah, thank you again, Spencer.
Yeah.
I have a comment there.
Yeah.
Relative to the earned interest income that we receive from the city's money, and you've seen and heard from Bank of America and from Mike over the last year or so, how minuscule the earned interest income is. Well, they're doing a small project in finance to look at that versus the loss of our spending dollar due to inflation and see where our real dollar comes out. So it's going to be an interesting picture when we get this project done. It's going to
show up where the value of our real dollar is. Good, thank you. Okay, do we have any committee reports?
We have an upcoming ACDC meeting next week. At our next council meeting, I will let you know the place for it, but I know it will be here in Ophelo.
Got a Guama report. I was at their meeting last Thursday, and it doesn't look like it's quite all dark and gloom. They're working on some projects. They've got several of them that they're looking into that might keep them alive for a little while until they do get some funding again. Some of these projects, there may be some funding that goes along with it. I'm not going to get into the specifics of what they're talking about because they're just kind of preliminary, but it looks like they may be able to pick up a little bit of money to keep them alive for a little while until they can get some of these going and get some money either from the state or whatever. It may come back to the local to make it happen yet. I know they were trying to get some money out of all four counties here yet. I don't think anything's going to happen as far as going to the ballot. But if they could stay alive and at least all that information they got, rather than stick it up on a shelf and it's all gone, of all the work they've put into that, why, it would be a plus, I think. I know the Bureau has relied on them a lot of what has happened over the last few years. And that information went to them. The Columbia Basin Development League, they're looking at all that information. And Yakima County is just starting like our Guama, their county is just starting up with something like that. And we've already had it for several years. So it's something that's very worthwhile. It's just that it just got caught in this mess, and I think that the idea of it is alive and the study of it and all that, I think, is very worthwhile. It just needs to be carried on, I think. So I'm not saying they're totally off the hook and maybe close up, but I think that they've got a chance to maybe stay alive at least.
Good. Anybody else? Committees? Unfinished business? New business?
I got one thing.
Okay.
The Ophelo website. It's been down way too long. It needs to be brought up as soon as possible, I think. That's our outlet to the public for what's going on in the meetings. It's to let them know upcoming meetings. Our Ophelo Municipal Code, and I think it's been down too long. I think we need to get that going. Do whatever we need to get it going as soon as possible.
I agree. The mayor's talking about it and talked to Stan. He's worked till midnight, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, last week, trying to get it up. There are some different problems, and the basic problem is our host of our website is called GoDaddy, and because of some security reasons, they had some hackers break in. They had to upgrade their security tremendously, but we had an old system they didn't match. So when they upgraded their security, we dropped off the grid. So Stan's been trying to figure out how to match those back. He told me today, very, very close, we can't guarantee it. So, but I've heard that before. We are trying.
announcements. Council Budget Committee meetings have been scheduled for October. Everybody take a look at it, make sure they look all right to you. So if we need to change something, are we going to do it right now?
I've got one really quick, and that's the one for tomorrow. Government. I've also got a meeting in Yakima at the same time. I talked to Ken really quick, and if it's okay with Charles, our contracts government is on Thursday, and usually that's a pretty quick one.
Right.
We go pretty quick. Maybe doing our general government right after that, possibly?
Dan's on the contract one. If that'll work for Dan, we can do it that way. Just do it all Thursday.
Sure.
That'll work for me.
Yeah, whatever works.
Yeah, you're both on the other one.
Yep.
You won't be here on Thursday? Because that's how it's scheduled. 10-4.
Yeah. Maybe we should alter that. I'll just sit in on that one.
That's for Thursday. You said you couldn't make Thursday.
I'll be here on the 4th.
You're in the 3rd.
Anybody want to set another?
Noon?
Yes.
I'm open.
You're open? Okay. Thank you, Gina. Maybe we'll put Gina in on Thursday in Dan's place. Okay, then I guess we'll move the... Which one was it?
General government.
General government to Thursday right after that, I guess.
The general government and contracts both Thursday.
Yes.
So what are you looking at? 12:30 have the other group show up too? Or that, those that are not on it?
It won't matter. We'll just...
Okay. Anything else anybody sees that we need to?
I have one. If I can ask, is there any way we can move back up the law enforcement an hour from 2 to 1 o'clock? Is that okay with you, Chief?
So
it'll be 1 o'clock?
The 18th. Any problem with Ken Johnson, Mark Snyder, and Dan Deaver?
No.
And 1 o'clock on the 18th instead of 2.
No problem?
Okay.
That's, I know you two got rotary that day. And you're out usually by then. You can make it then. Thursdays.
Okay. Any others? Okay, good. In October 22nd, meeting will be held at CBHA 14th Avenue in the boardroom at 6 p.m. This will be our budget retreat where staff will present their program, projections, equipment requests. Majority of the meeting will be devoted to discussing your thoughts and ideas for the 2013 budget. I encourage everybody to come with whatever thoughts and be ready to participate. And then Water Sewer Committee, Council Members Darrow, Kaler, and Snyder will meet on Wednesday to discuss what has been moved. Oh, that's still going, that's right. Never mind. We didn't move that one, right?
No, we didn't move that
one. No, that's a different meeting.
We're going to discuss the new ordinance on latecomer fees. And then the budget contract meeting is...
Is that noon?
Yeah.
Yes.
Number three.
That's it. Water Sewer, Doral, Taylor, Snyder. That's the 15th on the list over here. Is it Doral, Taylor?
Well, they're talking about the latecomer's fees. That we did last...
Different meeting.
Yeah, this is a different meeting.
Yeah.
Water Sewer, so...
Yeah.
And then budget contract meeting is scheduled for Thursday at noon. Johnson, Kaler, and Deaver, we okay on that one?
Yeah.
Okay. And then the annual City Fire Department meeting is October 9th at 7 p.m. at the County Fire Station. Councilmember Snyder, Bain, and Garcia. Everybody on board so far? Okay, good. Any other things before we close the meeting? Okay, this meeting's adjourned. Thank you everybody for coming.
Thanks for coming.